presents I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, the antidote to panel games. At the piano is Colin Sell, and your chairman is Humphrey Littleton.
Hello and welcome to another fun-packed edition of I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, which we're all most sorry to say is the last in the series. Oh. Sorry, that should of course read almost sorry to say. Last programme or not, it's still a pleasure to be able to call on some of the finest talent available in wireless entertainment. And the teams and I will be dropping by to visit them on our way back after the show. Meanwhile, let me introduce you to, on my right, Willie Rushton and Tim Brooke-Taylor. And on my left, Barry Cryer and Graham Garden. Well, unfortunately, the lovely Samantha, our regular scorer, has been incapacitated whilst filming an educational video for the Finnish Naturist Association. The director, Jurgis Plank, said Samantha suffered slight chafing after standing too close to the accordionist in the picnic scene. So in her absence, please welcome the pride of the fjords, the delightful Sven. Right, our first round is entitled Celebrity Misquotes. It's not escaped my notice that while there are plentiful records and books documenting things that famous people have said, there are very few records of things they've never said. In fact, if it wasn't for the Sun and the Mirror, we'd have very little idea who hadn't said what at all. To this end, teams, I'd like you please to come up with some remarks that famous people, alive or dead, would never have said. And we're going to start with you, Barry.
Michelangelo. Sorry, I only do floors.
Willie.
Gandhi. Here, Mush, you trying to be funny?
Graham.
Peter Lilly. I'm retiring to run a charm school.
Tim.
This is the Pope. Are you all right for the weekend, sir? Mary Whitehouse, I'm a bum and tit woman myself.
Julius Caesar. Oh, come on, is it Veni, Vidi, Vici or Weeny, Weeny, Weeny?
Malcolm Rifkin, and now on a lighter note.
Julius Caesar. Bloody Brutus, I knew you'd be in the thick of it.
Tony Slattery. Oh, I wouldn't appear on that.
It's now time for a round of pick-up songs, and as is customary, DJ Fluff Sven will spin some 12 inches on my gramophone and possibly even indulge in a spot of scratching. Personally, I blame his Hessian thong. The team should attempt to sing along. By some deft adjustments to my volume knob, at a certain point the music will drop out. If on its return, teams, you're within a gnat's crotchet of the original, I'll be awarding points. And points mean prizes. Oh, I'm not going to give you the... to see you... This week's prize is an afternoon of Sassoon's Hair Care, where the lucky winner will have his head specially shaved during a recital of First World War poetry. Willie, you're going to start. Will you please accompany Ronnie Ranald singing The Lonely Goat Herd?
High on a hill was a lonely goat herd.
Now was the voice of the lonely goat herd. Boats in the town of the quite remote herd. Lusty and clear from the goat herd's throat herd. Oh ho, yay, a tee hee. Oh ho, yay, tee hee. Oh ho, yay, a tee hee. Lay oddly, oddly. Yay, yo.
yodel o hoo. Yay yodel diddle a e t. Yay e yodel hoo. Yay yodel dee.
I didn't hear it drop out.
Oh, really? 15 out of 10.
Thank you.
Now, Tim, will you and Susan Maughan please sing Bobby's Girl?
When people ask of me, what would you like to be? Now that you're not a kid anymore. I know just what to say. I answer right away.
Oh, oh, boy.
There's just one thing I've been waiting for. I wanna be Bobby's girl. I wanna be Bobby's girl. That's the most important thing to me. And if I was Bobby's girl, if I was Bobby's girl, what a faithful thing.
You were great! You were great! Okay, Graham, will you accompany Rolf Harris?
Yeah?
Singing the Led Zeppelin classic, Stairway to Heaven.
Is there a tune?
There's a lady who's sure all that glitters is gold, and she's buying a stairway to heaven. All together now, and she's buying a stairway to heaven. When she gets there, she knows if those doors are all closed. With a word, she can get what she came for. All together now, with a word, she can get what she came for. Virginia Bottomley. And it makes you wonder, how does it affect you blokes? Oh, and it makes us wonder. Interesting, that. There's a sign on the wall, but she wants to make sure, 'cause you know sometimes words, you know sometimes words have been meaning. 'Cause you know sometimes words have two meanings. Makes you want a Rolf, doesn't it?
I don't know what you all clapped for. He wasn't anywhere near it. Barry.
Yes.
For the honour of your team, this is an easy one for you. Will you please accompany Luciano Pavarotti singing... singing, guess what? Nessun Dorma.
Silenzio che ti fa mia.
Chorus.
E noi dovremmo morire.
I thought it was still the chorus bit. Next.
Vincerò, vincerò.
I mean, he had about three goes, he got it right. Our next game is called Hard Sell. I'll be giving you a difficult or unattractive subject, teams, and you'll have 30 seconds in which to sell its redeeming assets to a totally uninterested, indifferent and apathetic audience. And that, of course, is where Colin Sell comes in. He'll be playing some backing music to which you should adapt your sales pitch. OK? Barry and Graham, your subject is the Pitbull Terrier. Colin?
The Pitbull Terrier. Everything you look for in a dog. Your arm, your foot.
Loves children. On the bone.
Remember, a pit bull isn't just for Christmas. You may not last that long.
Come home to a pit bull terrier, and you'll never go out again.
Right, Tim and Willie, your subject is Lloyd's Insurers.
Bored, secure, more money than you need. Want a bit of excitement? Then why not become a name at Lloyd's?
It makes the morning newspaper so much more exciting to read that as the Mississippi rises, so your nest egg sinks slowly in the west. As California burns, you'll be down on your knees to Lady Archer, begging for mercy and 200,000 quid for a cup of tea.
Yes, you, Mr. Brooke Taylor of 14 Acacia Avenue, will have the thrill of overhearing your friend say, "What a pillock." Serves him right, the greedy bastard. Yes, Lloyd's, the institution you can trust to ruin your life.
Right, and finally, Barry and Graham, another one for you. This is Robert Maxwell.
He was a great cook with Bob. I remember me mum sending me out for me dad's pension. I said, "No, lad, he's buggered off with it." And we laughed and we laughed and we laughed.
Is there something missing in your life? Get a Bob Maxwell. He's probably got it.
New, improved Maxwell. Now with wings.
Ah, it's now time to play the game called Mornington Crescent. And I notice that a letter has flooded in from our regular correspondent, Mrs. Trellis of North Wales, who raises some interesting points, as ever. Her inquiry is too long to repeat in full, but the answer to your first question, Mrs. Trellis, is that variegated fuchsias prefer light, loamy soil in a sunny position, and cuttings may be taken from about mid-August. In response to your second inquiry, Dr. Bouchatsky and Mrs. Ledward strenuously deny all the charges. So I hope that's all cleared up. Now, since we're on a green theme, pedestrian precincts will count double this week, and bus lanes are wild. So, Tim, will you start green Mornington Crescent?
Is that all bus lanes?
All bus lanes.
Right.
Well, it just says bus lanes. It's not going to... I mean, it's going to take too long to specify some bus lanes and not others, isn't it? Be here all night.
Yeah, but bus lanes that are 24-hour bus lanes, or the ones that are just 7 a.m. till...
Is there usually any sort of 7 till 10, or...
Not where I live.
Okay. You have buses where you live, huh?
Once every 3 days, yeah. All bus lanes are wild, teams.
Okay.
And that's that. So, Tim, you're going to start now. It's green Mornington Crescent.
Fryan Watch Avenue.
East India Dock Road.
Sorry. Kensington Church Street.
Piccadilly, bus lane, thereon. Can't drive down that one. Goes a counter to the traffic. Goes the other way to the most of the traffic. Well, on Piccadilly does.
Okay.
And then goes
Tim.
Down. You turn off it down sort of Duke's.
Jim.
I was nearly knocked over on that one. Yeah. Well, you do when you step off.
Well, you look the other way. Yeah.
Jim, will you continue the game, please?
Terrifying.
I've said it.
What have you said?
Frognal.
Oh, thank you.
Barry was stepping
Hammersmith off the curb. Broadway. Bus lane there on.
There isn't a bus lane in Hammersmith
yes,
Broadway.
Yes, there is.
No, there was.
I was nearly knocked over there as well. No, you never knocked over for years, and then you knocked over three times. All covered.
No bus lanes in Old Compton Street.
Arndale Centre.
Oh.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
Why?
Well, which Arndale Centre? Are you lying, Arndale? Just a straightforward Arndale Centre.
I don't see why not.
In that case, Mornington Crescent.
No.
Oh, no.
It's wild, you see. Oh. Wild.
I freely admit that the day I had Timbrook Taylor as a partner, but today, whoopee!
Thanks.
Yes,
really.
That was very. That was a bit of a crafty move, Jim, but it's okay.
Like
it.
Allow that,
it's
you'll okay. Allow anything.
Really dirty, that. Well done.
Are you criticising my judgment? Yeah. Right, let's go on to the next game, on which you, Barry Crowe, really will score absolutely no points. Our next round's called Noises Off. In this round, teams, you'll be asked to tell a story. However, to make these more interesting, you should illustrate your story with sound effects. The only problem is that you will have no control over which sound effects get played. As soon as the effects are played in, the story should change hands from one team member to the other, and so on until vast droves of listeners start asking difficult questions about the renewal of the BBC's charter. My Barry and Graham, your story is Pinocchio. Graham, will you start, please?
Once upon a time, there was a carpenter and toy maker whose name was Geppetto, who lived all alone with his cat and his goldfish and had a very lonely life making toys and clocks and similar pieces of carpentered toy-making equipment. And his loneliness was such that he decided that what he'd really like would be a little boy to keep him company. So,
it's in the book.
So, quick as a flash, he opened his tool cupboard.
Oh.
And lo and behold, he whipped out his How to Make a Lovable Little Boy puppet manual. Because he had this burning desire, whatever it cost him, to be a single parent. So he began whittling away, and gradually the face began to emerge. And he looked at this face and thought, my goodness, it looks just like a...
like a sheep joke.
Or a Barbie doll.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. No.
Said Jiminy Cricket. Well, before long, Geppetto had made the little boy puppet, and he sat him proudly on a chair, but somehow it wasn't very satisfactory as a companion, because obviously the puppet wasn't alive. So Geppetto went to sleep, and during the night, when the house was quiet, the certain coloured fairy appeared. A siren indeed, this fairy, weaving about the room, just as Geppetto was tossing and turning in his bed, trying to think of a name for his little wooden son. And he suddenly woke up and saw the dartboard with the line drawn in front of it. And there was a hatpin on his bed. Pin. Ocky. He thought, I shall call him Muffin. But he looked round. No sign of his new beloved wooden child. Oh, my goodness, cried Geppetto. I think I want to.
Call for help.
What had happened during the night was that, of course, the fairy had brought the puppet to life, and the puppet had gone off looking for adventure in the world and fallen in with a bad set who taught him to be an actor. And at that very moment, the little boy Pinocchio, because he didn't like being called Muffin, thinking carpenter's crumpet, Pinocchio was appearing in his own very first show. And the curtain went up and the audience gasped as...
Gladys Knight and the Pips appeared. At that moment, a mighty whale erupted into the theatre and swallowed him up. There he met... That was unsolicited.
You're in league with the devil.
Right, your turn, Tim and Willie. Your story is Romeo and Juliet. Willie, will you start, please?
Two families in Padua, the Montagues and the Capulets. Not the Montagues who have the Motor Museum, but the ones who hate Capulets. And Romeo is a Montague and Juliet is a Capulet, and they met at a dance. Fell on a foot.
Oh,
look, there's the trade minister, said Romeo. Meanwhile, Tybalt, a Capulet, has had a few on a Saturday night and kills Mercutio. Romeo swears revenge.
Oh, dear, says Nurse, he's out of bed again. I'd better go and try it. And she also tells Juliet, she said, well, I mean, if you fancy this young lad as well, I mean, you might as well, you know, do the balcony scene.
Oh, look, there he is, kissing a friar. This story's changed, said Juliet. Friar marries Romeo to Juliet. Romeo goes off to kill Tybalt, and the friar has a cunning wheeze. It's his mobile phone.
I'm not going to answer that, he said. It ring out all the time. I'll write him a letter. Go away, he says. I'm a Trappist. Anyway, Juliet has her drink, and Romeo comes around and sees her lying on the floor, thinks she's dead, and kills himself. Three times.
Meanwhile, the friar sends Romeo a letter, but he entrusts it to Group 4, who say... who say they've lost it.
So Juliet wakes up, and seeing Romeo lying on the floor now, with Group 4 on top of him, she kills herself.
Thus ends A Barrel of Laughs.
It's now time for a round of limericks, the simple rhyme scheme that was, as you would expect, originally devised in the Irish town of Cork. Teams, I shall provide you each with a vibrant first line, which I would like you to complete in limerick form, taking one line each. We're going to start with you, Willie. One evening on Crime Watch UK.
One evening on Crime Watch UK, my heart was quite stolen away.
When Nick Ross confessed
that he had pinched Sue Cook's vest
and was exiled to Botany Bay.
How neat.
Little historic about that.
Graham, here's one for you. Last night I was watching Blind Date.
When they brought on a chimp in a crate.
Scylla said, who's for you?
On camera. And the chimp said, you'll do.
And immediately started to mate.
Barry, here's one for you. If you find you enjoy Pebble Mill...
you're probably mentally ill.
Judy Spires is no slouch.
When it comes to the couch.
So lie back and keep perfectly still.
Right, jolly good. Our next round is something of a public service. It's called Censored Song. Offensive language and gratuitous smutty talk is far too widely available these days, especially on those 0898 phone lines advertised in the left-hand columns between page 27 and 40, and 46 of Exchange and Mart. Teams, I'll ask you each to sing a song, and using the in-house buzzer system to censor out anything liable to be offensive to the ear. The one obvious exception, of course, is musical accompaniment by Colin Sell. Tim and Willie, you've got to start. Will you please censor Shall We Dance from The King and I?
We've just been introduced. I do now know you well. But when the music started, something drew me to your side. So many men and girls are in each other's arms. It made me think we might be similarly occupied. Shall we? On a bright cloud of music, shall we? Shall we? Shall we then say goodnight and mean good? Or perchance, when the last little star has left the sky, shall
shall we still, together with us, around each other, and shall you be my new? On the clear understanding that this kind of thing can happen, shall we? Shall we? Shall we?
Okay. Right, Barry and Graham, your turn now. Will you please censor the theme tune to the TV program Robin Hood?
He called the greatest archers to a tavern on the green. They vowed to help the people of the king. They handle all the trouble on the English country scene and still found plenty of time to... Robin Hood, Robin Hood, through the glen. Robin Hood, Robin Hood, with his band of men. By the bad, by the good, Robin Hood, Robin Hood, Robin Hood.
Very good. Well, we've not much of a program left now, and in the words of Frank Sinatra, what do you mean, a wig? Oh, and now the end is near. Before we go, though, I'll squeeze in a round of Chef's Film Club. In this round, teams, I'd like you please to come up with some titles of films likely to be popular with members of the catering profession. And Barry, you're going to start, please.
Basted Instinct.
The remains of the dish of the day.
Romancing the stove.
The shepherd's pie you came in from the cold.
Desperate.
Thank you, Mother.
Desperately seeking croutons.
The last mango in Paris.
Mel Gibson's omelette. Well, my mother's gone.
Crocodile done to a turn.
One of our souffles is missing.
Gatto on a hot tin roof.
Cat on a gas Mark 7. Sweetbreads of youth.
Gone with the Vindaloo.
Rice Pudding, the Mad Monk.
At which point?
Prawn Free. Sorry. Elvis Parsley in Lovely Tender.
I hate to break into this flow of inspiration, but it's my doleful responsibility to break the bad news that that's all we've time for in the current series. Oh. Yes. A sad moment. I'm afraid the word current does seem to imply there'll be another one. We'll be making a short appearance on your wirelesses on Christmas Day, so until then, from the teams, Sven and myself, goodbye.
Timbrook Taylor, Barry Trier, Graham Garden and Willie Rushton have been given silly things to do by Humphrey Littleton, with Colin Sell setting some of them to music. The programme was produced by John Naismith.